Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in that inn at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying there in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with news. "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Oh. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Wow. What a morning this is, huh? I want you to try something with me. This week I came up with a little bit of rhyme. I didn't intend for it to be such a little Dr. Seussian sort of piece of fun, but that's just how it turned out as I was writing my sermon for Good Friday. So do me a favor, will you? Repeat after me. It's amazing what God can do. When God takes what we make and makes something new. Let's do that again. It's amazing what God can do. When God takes what we make and makes something new. Cute, isn't it? And also, it's true. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus works tirelessly to show anyone and everyone who will bear witness to him, who will hear his teaching, that what they think they know about themselves, their world, and their God doesn't quite measure up to what is actually true. One might even say that Jesus is a bit of a subversive prophet. That Jesus, knowing what we expect to be true, knowing what we think we know, seeks at every turn to undermine it, to push us to think beyond what we think we know. Jesus is well aware of what we expect to happen. But Jesus knows that it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. What is that? It's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. Here we are, Easter Sunday, the day where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. It is the culmination of our Holy Week remembrances. In fact, it is the moment where we turn the corner into something altogether new. As John writes, it is early on the first day of the week when we find Mary Magdalene alone in the garden, having come to mourn the death of her beloved teacher and friend. Just as Mary and later Peter, the beloved disciple, and the rest of Jesus' entourage are filled with grief and remembrance of the traumas they have experienced over the course of the last several days, so we too find ourselves standing in the shadows of our Holy Week experience. Our eyes still puffy and tired from weeping, our hearts weary and broken with grief and hopelessness. We can't help but remember all that has transpired over the course of the last 7 days. We remember Jesus riding into Jerusalem like a king, trumpets blaring, crowds cheering, the Lord resplendent on his magnificent steed, towering above the roaring crowd, the perfect example of power and might. Wait, no, that's not quite right. What was it that we saw? A modest man riding a small, too small, really, colt that had never been ridden before. Little pomp and circumstance, a crowd, yes, a jubilant crowd, sure, but certainly it was not the magnificent display we subjects of Rome are accustomed to, was it? I mean, as far as parades go, it was a bit of a dud, wasn't it? Not quite what we expected. But then again, it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. On Thursday, we gather together in this quiet space to celebrate and honor the Lord's Supper. This incredible feast our God lays before us. Delectable delights, the likes of which can't even be found in the nicest of establishments. We sat there, waited on hand and foot by a bevy of servants, and there at the head of the table, the host of to beat all hosts, reigning over these festivities like the most ornate of celebratory banquets. Wait, no, that's not quite right. What was it that we saw? Our master and leader bowing before us to wash our feet with his hands? Our Lord offering us the most common of food, a bite of bread, a sip of wine, so that we might understand that in this meal he gives himself for us, that he offers his life for our sustenance, taking something so ordinary and turning it into something truly divine. As far as feasts go, surely this is not what we expected. But then again, say it with me, it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. And then on Friday, our majestic and powerful Lord, Jesus the Messiah, the great heroic ruler who will unite the kingdom and restore Israel to its rightful power, rises before the crowds and sends Pilate and the rest of the Roman Empire packing. Jesus, our Savior, who comes to make us the best, the most triumphant, the most right, the most successful people with the whole world at our feet. Wait. No. That's not quite right. What was it that we saw? Our teacher, our friend, willingly walking towards certain death, suffering, humiliation, derision, torture, and abuse. Our Lord, our Messiah, breathing his last breaths, hanging from a cross like a criminal, a common thief. As far as victories go, it was not quite what we expected. But then again, it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. So here we are this morning, and we realize what has happened. We utter cries of joy and celebration. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. Surely we recall, don't we, that Christ put all those leaders to shame, the religious leaders at the temple, the high priest, the Roman authorities, Pilate. He puts them all to shame, arising in splendor for all to see, an undeniable fireworks display of God's power and might. Jesus triumphantly destroys the finality of death and shows the whole world what God has done. Wait, no, that's not quite right. What was it that we saw? An empty tomb. Where there once was the silence of death, an even deeper silence remains. Mary Magdalene stands alone, the disciples having fled the unimaginable sight. And she doesn't know what to do. The angels she sees don't even understand her tears, can offer no sympathy for her grief. She tries to explain to them what is happening inside her heart, but to no avail. She turns. She sees another person and begs this stranger, this gardener, this nobody, to help her to make sense out of what she has found. She doesn't see him for who he is. She can hardly conceive of all that has happened on this quiet morning. That is, until he calls her by her name. This is certainly not the glorious resurrection we expected. But then again, you ready? It's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. This week we remember that in Christ Jesus, God teaches us that a kingly arrival is not what we should expect. This week, we remember that in Christ Jesus, the feast that is set at the table before us is not what we should expect. This week, we remember that the glorious defeat of death's sting is not what we should expect. But then again, it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. God takes a simple entrance and makes it more glorious than all the glitz and glamour we can imagine. God takes the simple meal of bread and wine and makes it the most enlivening and enriching meal we have ever tasted. God takes the brutal weapon of oppression, torture, and death and makes it the beginning of new life. God takes a fearful moment of confusion and fright and makes it the first Easter sermon ever preached, the first proclamation of the resurrection, the first expression of the gospel truth. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This woman, this beloved follower of Jesus, preaches these words for the very first time ever. Not Peter, not the beloved disciple, not even Thomas. No, Mary Magdalene, a woman, not a man. Maybe not the voice that we expected. But then again, it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. Let's say it again. It's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. This Easter morning, let us all keep our eyes wide for what newness God has in store for us. Let us not cling only to that which we think we know, but let us ready ourselves to receive the unexpected. Let us remember that God does things God's way, not ours. Let us remember that it's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. Let's say it again. It's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. One more time. It's amazing what God can do when God takes what we make and makes something new. And that, my friends, is the gospel truth. Amen.